This is an MUT Radio podcast.
It is 14 minutes past 12 on your Friday afternoon here on the Hlanganani Midday Show with me, Kanye May, on MUT Radio, where we are shaping and owning the future of our weekend. We are talking all things entertainment, all things film, everything, media, television. And we have had a packed show with interviews and we are not stopping. We are getting right into it. We've got a KZN-based documentary filmmaker joining us, Ms. Tani Mugwe. And Ms. Tani Mugwe works at Steps, where she has produced Generation Africa, which is a collection of 25 films from 16 African countries on migration, and a collection of 11 short films for Mzansi in a time of COVID. Through her production company, Control Alt Shift, she is releasing a feature documentary called Woman Working. She has written Evelyn and directed Daddy's Boy, which were both short films, and directed and produced Ageko Ugogo, which is a mid-length documentary. Her TV work includes writing for Muvango, Matatiele, and directing on Uzalo. Tani has also organized and programmed festivals, including 4 international festivals, Time of the Writer, the Durban International Film Festival, Jomba, the Contemporary Dance Festival, and Poetry Africa. She's also curated film programs for the Durban Film Art, Talents Durban. She is also a mentor at the Durban Film Art, Great Lakes Producers Lab, and with EFM Toolbox, the EFM Toolbox program. She's part of the DFM Future Mentors Program as a contributor, curriculum and trainer. She's also the founder of Ehozini Retreat, an artist residency in Mapepeteni in Etegwini. She is a participant in the 2024 EAVE Producers Workshop, EAVE Producers Workshop. And she's joining us today to talk about her amazing career, her experience in the industry, and just, yeah, what she thinks is happening in the film industry and how she's enjoying the world of film. So, Tani, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you for the invitation, Tani.
Oh, we're so glad to have you today. So we'll just jump right into it. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, what inspired you to pursue a career in film and television, and yeah, how did you become the Tani that you are today?
I started actually on campus radio. I was doing a BSc in computer science at Victoria University many moons ago. And I volunteered on campus radio and got the idea that I really like storytelling, writing, and that sort of thing. So, when I came to Durban, I worked on radio for a couple of years. And I got curious about screenwriting and then got into screenwriting. At the time, there wasn't much of an industry in KZN. I was involved in starting a screenwriting lab at the Bad Center for the South African Scriptwriters Institute, which really gave me an insight into the film industry. At the same time, I got an opportunity to study at a film college in Durban, made my first film, which screened at the Durban International Film Festival. So through that experience, I found out about film festivals, but also that there was one in Durban, and I started working for the Durban International Film Festival. So I've been sort of involved in the film industry on the level of making films, but also industry development as an arts manager.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Wonderful. And I'm just going to jump right into the projects of Generation Africa and Mzansi in the time of COVID, because it is Africa Month and we are talking all things Africa and what's happening on the continent. So with Generation Africa, it's obviously an incredible project with 25 films from 16 countries in Africa. What was that process like for selecting and producing these films?
Like the project I was involved in it over five, six years. Steps works, it's a company based in South Africa, but our footprint is international. So we put out a call, for stories, which were around the theme of migration in both English and French speaking countries in Africa, and received quite a lot of submissions and went through a process of selecting those. Then we went through a process of doing story development labs. So, these were, at the time, it was before COVID, so they were in Accra, Nairobi, and Ouagadougou, so according to languages and regions, where we had, you know, documentary experts, subject matter experts, people who are working in the media in those regions, kind of in a lab to kind of talk about the stories, approach to narrative. And from those, from that process, we selected some stories to give a grant, for development, and offered obviously mentorship, for them to develop their stories. We developed, I think it was 35 stories. And in the end, we produced 25 of those films. Mm. So they are three short films, 11 medium-length films, and 11 feature films, which they've done well on the international circuit, winning awards. And the films have also been broadcast with Arte, which is a channel in France and Germany. It's a public interest, very arty, very creative content that they curate for that channel. They are our main broadcaster. But we also had Al Jazeera and BBC, SVT, and other channels which broadcast a selection of films from the collection. But the whole idea behind the project is about identifying one, how we work with steps, identifying one key social issue, and bringing together a community of filmmakers, other producers, broadcasters, and organizations to really amplify the voices that are kind of confronting that issue, that are taking action around that issue. Also to show different perspectives on a particular issue. So like this collection of films is about migration, but some stories are looking at the feminization of migration. What does it mean for women to migrate? Mm-hmm. How does it change their role in society, in their families? What does it say, what does it do to how women participate in society? Looking at remittances, for example, how remittances outnumber in amount, in volume, in value, monetary value. The amount of money that flows into the developing world from remittances that come from relatives who travel abroad is far more than the amount of money of aid that goes into developing countries. So this also prompts you to kind of look at migration in a different way. And it's also more substantial development that comes from remittances because, you know, a family member will migrate to the West and they're sending money home that educates a whole generation of children. That is direct, like, transformation, you know, rather than, you know, $1 billion spent on an aid agency pays maybe 60%, 70% of it to fat salaries for, like, expat workers in the aid industry. So also looking at, oh, my God, quite a lot of stories. But a lot of stories, yes, from East and West Africa. Also a lot of stories about coming back home because the story of migration is departure and return. So my point that I was making is that, like, we're really concerned about how these stories can drive that more than just, like, festivals around the world and awards. It's also about how these stories can drive conversations that really get communities to start to talk about what's happening on a personal and also on a societal level around a certain issue.
Yes. And now with something like the Generation Africa Project, right, you're obviously in a position of incredible power when you're looking at curating films and working on scripts And so how do you reconcile that with, with that power with how you represent, African stories, to other Africans, to the rest of the world? Because we've been talking about this idea of what an authentic African story is, right? And obviously that is different from country to country, individual to individual. So how do you reconcile that with projects like Generation Africa, and when you are working with film festivals, in selecting films and working with people to make their stories into films?
So I think that in the history of cinema, there have been very few stories about Africa that are told by Africans. There's been African storytellers have been like very marginalized. So we have not seen the breadth of what expression can be for African storytellers and what the African story is. So I think it's dangerous to try and define what an African story is. I think it's an exciting time where we can discover. I think that there are many people who have experienced marginalization in Africa. And with that marginalization, what's also implied is not having an opportunity to tell your story. So I think that what's really prevalent is Hollywood and the dominance of Hollywood in our screens, in our radio waves, in our print media. So we know what Hollywood storytelling looks like, and we've also internalized it as viewers. As an audience, we've internalized what a good film is based on that. And also now as filmmakers, we internalize what a good film is based on what we get to watch. When it comes to creative documentaries, you look at the TV schedules, the TV schedules that we have access to here in South Africa. We don't get to watch a lot of creative documentaries. We get to watch a lot of factual television where people are sitting down and they're being interviewed and they're talking heads. We get to see a lot of news, and we get to see a lot of profiles of celebrities, but we don't see creative documentary that is as mature and developed as a filmic language as you get to see in the cinemas of the rest of the world. So I think that there's a huge opportunity for us to discover what that looks like for us. I think that documentary is very powerful and impactful when audiences do get to access it, because documentary speaks to a lived experience. It may not be the lived experience of that person in the audience, but the fact that it's a lived experience, there's a way for anyone in the world to connect to documentary much more than I think fiction storytelling. And I think that we need to see more documentaries, not necessarily just African documentaries. We need to see more documentaries as South African audiences. We need to see broadcasters and channels programming more creative documentaries, like daring and experimental type of film. And then as audiences, we need to watch it more. But also, I think as filmmakers, we need to find ways to be exposed to the kind of conversation that's happening in the rest of the world around factual and creative storytelling.
And now we were speaking to the KZN Film Commission earlier, and we were speaking about what are some of the challenges that are preventing filmmakers in South Africa and in KZN from reaching all of those potentials, right? From making more documentaries, from making more films. With your experience and your opinions, what have you found is one of some of the most challenging issues that we're facing to get more documentaries out, more films out?
I think that a lot of creative documentaries are not a straight line. where when you're making a fiction film, or even when you're making like a factual film where it's a magazine show where you're just going to interview some people, put it together, and, you know, put some music or whatever. It's a very straight line. It's like, this is what I'm going to do. This is how long it's going to take. I'm going to go and do it. All the factors are going to be in place, and then it's going to go. But with creative, especially character-driven documentary, it's very difficult for filmmakers to know where the story is going to go, to get things moving when they want it to be moving. So it's a very difficult kind of environment to be fundraising and to be also making a film under. I think also good stories come from good development, and there aren't a lot of avenues for supporting filmmakers in developing strong stories, especially strong stories that can appeal to diverse and international audiences. I think that organizations like KZN Film Commission and NFEF really do a lot of great work to try and fill in those gaps. But like as an industry, we need to be working towards mobilizing other kind of interventions that would help to strengthen that.
Yes. And what obviously do you think? Yes?
I was wondering what you think.
What I think the challenges are, yeah. I think on one hand, we still have an idea of what good jobs are, right? And I think as much as we push the arts, we don't push them enough from a point of view that it's a career, right? Mm. It kind of still, for the most part, is viewed of as I don't know, like a hobby or something like that. And I think if we can get more, because it's money, essentially, money and infrastructure. And money and infrastructure comes into things that people view as valuable. So I think as much as we've been talking about it for years, and we know that how important the arts are in general. Like we were talking in the week, I was saying that how a lot of how we consume information is through the arts, right? If you're looking at something like an advert, a film, I went into that. If you know, artists are in everything, but we still have this perception that if you are not like incorporating it into a business type of space, then it's not, yeah, it's not a career, right? So I think perspective is still a huge issue because, yeah, even in universities, when you're studying, the courses aren't always covering the practical aspects of when I graduate, what job can I do, or how can I enter the industry in a way that's not just going straight to, directing your masterpiece, right? So I think viewing it as an industry that has structure and is clear for people coming into the industry. I think that for me, as you know, a recent graduate has been something that I've been finding.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, but we can have more and more conversations about that. So you found a way to work with these challenges and had lots of success with your films. You've had Evelyn, Daddy's Boy, your current, you're releasing the Woman Working, and you were nominated as part of the production for No U-Turn at the Berlin Film Festival. So how have these films, how have you been experiencing the success of your projects, and what have these what have the experiences been, and ultimately the awards, and just, yeah, seeing recognition for your work? How has that been feeling for you?
I think that what I've learned over the course of my career so far is that film is a collaborative medium, and that it's really important to find good collaborators and to build good collaborations. And this is really helpful. It helps you to have resilience when There are failures and there are challenges, but it also means that there's like far more joy to share when there's like successes that come from it. I think that also now we're moving towards a time of like automation of everything, including like a lot of the aspects of the filmmaking process. And I think it's really important to remember that, like, to make good films, it comes from the creativity of so many.
If
that makes any sense.
Yes, we're with you. So looking ahead, we're feeling optimistic about the film industry in KZN, in South Africa, in Africa. So for you, what can you talk to us about your upcoming projects and initiatives and stuff that you're working on so that we can keep an eye out for what you're getting up to?
I'm busy producing the next collection of films at Steps. It's a collection of films around the climate crisis in Africa. I'm also producing a feature film, working with a director based in Cape Town called Yanni Nkuleko Okema. We are producing a feature film and a short film together. Finishing this Women Working, which is going to be out of festival over the next few months. I have this residency, on the outskirts of the city, which is a space, it's called Ehozini Retreat, and it's a space, like a residency, a Pan-African residency, and it's a space to kind of gather artists and dreamers and doers to kind of like work in community, but also in a very like peaceful and deeply cultural environment. I should have a website for this so that it's easy for people to access it. But there's a Facebook page and people can reach me for them on the internet. But yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yes.
Wonderful. We will absolutely be watching the space. Before I let you go, you part of the mentorship initiative with the DFM, and through that, what advice would you give to young people, students who want to come into the industry?
That's a very broad thing. But you kind of asked it, you prefaced it with this notion of mentorship. I think that it is important to find your people, but also to be aware that there are many people. I think when you're entering, it helps you to feel a certain groundedness, to be able to make immediate plans to find people that you can align with on the basis of like, shared outlook, similar values, people who have experience that they can share and impart with you. I think it's always important to also be aware of what you can offer. And be always ready to offer it, but also to be aware of it, to understand that mentorship is a reciprocal thing. If I carry on, I'll just be like,
yeah. We have to have you on for a longer chat.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me.
So before I let you go, you're in the on the creating side of film and television and media, right? So what are you consuming? What are you watching? What are you gonna this weekend? What are you gonna be watching? Or what are some things that you can recommend people watch?
Oh my god. I'm not watching as much as I wish I could be watching, to be honest. Quite a lot of times I'm watching a lot of stuff for work. So what that looks like is I'm watching the stuff of people I'm working with, or the film references of the stuff that they're sending, watching a lot of references for stuff that I want to create as well. I'm watching a lot, like a lot of what I'm watching is like directly linked to like the work that I'm doing. So I feel a little bad because I haven't watched anything for pleasure. This is a terrible confession. I haven't watched anything for pleasure in a very long time. But that is not to say that I don't enjoy the stuff that I'm watching for work. But I don't even know if I know very well what my tastes are. I like documentaries. I'm always trying to watch stuff that's coming out. Which somehow always also leads me to watching like other stuff. So I could say like say film now, but it's just not gonna be useful for anyone at all. but just to say that I just finished watching a film which is work for work called No Other Land, which was premiered at the Berlinale this year. It's like a film following two young men, Israeli and Palestinian, in the displaced, in the conflict over forced displacement of Palestinians in the West Bank. And there was a controversy that some people who were watching the news would have followed about the director of the film being threatened by extremists, and it won an award at the Berlinale. So this film is a really interesting film, and we're working on a way to find a way to screen it in Durban. So this is why I was watching it.
Yes. If you haven't, because it's on the theme looking at migration and forced displacement, specifically in Palestine, Armored Alive, a film that was being screened in Durban, Cape Town, and Johannesburg, I think last few weeks. I'd recommend that watch as well if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I was wanting to see it. I read about it. I just couldn't make it out to the cinema. I really want to see that film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was specifically powerful online. Because it was all filmed on a phone, or most of it was filmed on a phone. So this idea that you have to have the best technology to make some of the best films.
It's true, you can make films on the phone now. But it's nice to have an Ari.
Yes. absolutely. Okay, thank you so much. I could keep you and talk forever, but we'll let you go and continue with the wonderful work, and we'll be watching the space. So, just can you plug in where we can find you, where we can stream any of your things or watch any of your stuff?
You can watch my documentary work on AfriDoc. So AfriDocs.net. I think it's AfriDocs.net. We'll just wait. AfriDocs.net, AfriDocs.net, N-E-T. And on there's a kind of a page for Generation Africa, and also a page for COVID-19 Stories, which is a collection of South African short films that were shot during the time of COVID, during the lockdown.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us again. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I hope you do get a little bit of time to do some watching for pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, I hope thank you so much. All the best with everything. I can't wait to see your work.
Okay, thank you, Kanye. Bye.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.